This is Brother Gino Cassieri, pastor of the Evangelical Baptist Church in Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you once again for joining me for the Pastor's Study. Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in Psalm 119. The title of our study today is A Profile of an Obedient Saint. A Profile of an Obedient Saint. And our study will cover verses 57 through 64. In Psalm 119. So let's begin. Psalm 119, verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste, and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Here is a picture of an obedient saint. In verse 57 we read, I have said that I would keep thy words. Notice plural, words. In verse 60, he said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Again, plural, commandments. When you and I accept the call to follow Christ, our course was set for obedience, and no other response will do but swift obedience to his will. Today, notice this obedience profile. There are, six main points today. The first one is, he has chosen God as his portion, in verse 57. Point number two, there is communication with God in prayer, verses 58, 62, and 64. Point number three, he makes correction on his pathway, verses 59 and 60. Point number four, he is consistent under adverse particulars, verse 61. Point number five, companionship with like-minded partners, verse 63. And then finally, point six, he has a conclusive world perspective, verse 64. So let's begin with main point number one. We see that the psalmist, he has chosen God as his portion. Verse 57. In verse 57, he says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Why many have a problem obeying God is because they have not made God their portion. We are all dependent beings. Look what Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 14 regarding this. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, he says, For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Therefore, something will be our portion, be it a family, financial security, popularity or fame, or other portions of what this world has to offer. The psalmist rejoices that God has given him his portion, and that his portion is God himself. Asaph prayed, Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire but thee. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. The first mention of portion in the Bible is Abraham's reply to the king of Sodom in Genesis 14, verse 24. Let's turn there. Genesis chapter 14, verse 24. We read, Genesis 14, verse 24. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. In essence, Abraham was saying God is all he needs. Abraham's portion would be God himself. Looking in chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Make a choice. Which portion of the pie do you want? Or choose the one who baked the pie, amen? That great hymn of the faith, take the world, but give me Jesus. We see this choice being made is an illustration of this is the division of the land among the 12 tribes. The Levites' portion was the Lord himself, according to Numbers 18, chapter 18, verse 20. And what this is a picture of is a picture of the New Testament Christian, amen. We have no earthly portion, amen. Looking in Psalm 17 with me, Psalm 17. In Psalm 17, we want to look at verses 13 through 15. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver me, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. For as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Here the psalmist, which is David, is making a contrast, amen, between the men of this world, whose portion is in this life. But he was praising God that his portion is not in this life, but in the next. His portion in this life is God himself. And that should be our portion, amen, is God himself, my friend. Not the things that the world has to offer, amen. You know, the world, let them take the world, but give me Jesus, amen. The second main point we want to look at, we see there is communication with God in prayer. Again, our study has to do with a profile of obedient saint. We're looking at an obedience profile. The first thing is, the psalmist has chosen God as his portion. Have you? If you're an obedient saint, then you should have, amen. The second point is, an obedient profile will include, there is communication with God in prayer. Psalm 119 again, verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. You see, one of the things of an obedient saint, the profile of an obedient saint, is desire for fellowship with God who is his portion. In other words, entreat God's favor, mercy, according to his word. See, he says in verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Let's compare this with Genesis, what said in Genesis chapter 32, amen, in verse 26. Genesis 32, verse 26. Genesis 32 and verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Amen. And of course, this is what we have here is Jacob wrestling with God. And he says, let me go, Jacob. And Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. He entreated God to bless him. You see, I want to be able to look God in the face and have him smile upon my life. Amen. Don't you? We need to get fanatical as children of God about praise and thanksgiving. Verse 62, Psalm 119. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. See, the psalmist got up, rose at midnight, interrupted his sleep to praise God. How many of us have ever done that? Have you done that? Have there been times when you've been woken in the middle of the night and you've just praised God and thanked God? We're told in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Always, for all things. Even when things aren't going right. It's harder to praise God and thank God when things aren't going right according to the way we think they should go. Amen. Look at Paul and Silas. We talked about that briefly in our last lesson, our last study. At midnight when they were thrown in that Philippian jail. And they sang praises and they gave thanks unto God. And as a result, salvation came to that jailhouse that night, to the head of the jailhouse, the Philippian jailer. See, the Philippian jailer, because the doors were open, he thought the prisoners were gone. And if you were a jailer and lost a prisoner, that meant your life. You would have been put to death, and he was about ready to kill himself. Paul and Silas says, we're all here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because they sang praises and gave thanksgiving at midnight, a man and his family were saved. If we would only do the same, more would be saved, I believe. In fact, what do you do in your midnight hour of adversity? Amen. Do you blame God? Do you, oh, why is this happening to me? And throw a pity party? Or are you like Paul and Silas? You sing, you give thanks, and you sing praises to God. Amen. That should be our heart attitude. Amen. Petition God to teach you. Petition God to teach you. That's what the psalmist said. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. So we see another part of the profile of an obedient saint is a communication with God in prayer, entreating God for mercy, getting fanatical about praise and thanksgiving, and petitioning God to teach you his word. Amen. You don't need to go to Bible college or university to be taught God's word. The author of this book, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells within you. Amen. Like no other book. Maybe you've read another book and wonder what the author was thinking about when he wrote the words. Can't call them up and ask them, but you can talk to the Holy Spirit and he'll tell you what he meant. Praise the Lord for that. Point number three in this profile of an obedient saint, he makes corrections on his pathway. Look at verses 59 and 60. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So we see then that he made corrections to the way he was walking, to the way he was living. God's word is profitable for correction and instruction in righteousness, is it not? Self-evaluation, amen, to God's testimonies. Amen. To God's word. That's what we need for that correction. Heart searching. Heart searching. Look at in Psalm 4, verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. David wrote this. We need to spend time alone with God and allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. and ask, am I going the right way? Am I doing the right thing? And matching it up with what the Word of God has to say. Resolve, amen, when you find something isn't right, as the psalmist did, to make immediate adjustments as needed. Isn't that what he said? What did he say? In verse 50, or actually verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He found what was wrong, what he was doing wrong, and he made immediate corrections. That's what we need to do. A good illustration is the prodigal son in Luke 15. See, he considered after he left and he went to the far country, he considered where he was in the slop. And he contemplated to himself where he could be. He searched his heart in the Father's house. And he chose where he would be. See? Not delay. We shouldn't delay. Once we know and understand what the Lord wants, what possible reason could cause us to delay? See, when that prodigal son came to himself, realized that he was wrong and what he had done was wrong, he made a correction. He went back to the Father's house. He was humble. He entreated the Father for mercy. He didn't want to be he knew he didn't deserve to be the Father's son. He wanted to just be his servant. But the thing is, he didn't delay when he found out, when he came to himself and realized that he was wrong. We should do the same thing, my friend. If you're a child of God and you search your heart, allow the Holy Spirit to search you according to the Word of God, and you find out what you're doing wrong. Amen. And how you're going wrong. Don't haste. Don't delay. Hasten. Run to do the will of the one who calls us his own. If you haven't, after salvation, been baptized scripturally, totally immersed in water, not for your salvation, but as an act of obedience, as an outward testimony that you're buried with Christ, that you're buried that old nature, that you're resurrected in newness of life, that you're walking with Christ now, that he saved you. Don't delay to get baptized. Don't delay to go soul winning. Amen. Don't delay to tithe and give offerings to the local church. These are all things that God would have you to do. Let's look at our fourth main point as we look at this profile of an obedient saint. He is consistent under adverse particulars. Verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. You see, consistency towards God's word is impossible unless God is your portion. Amen. See? Even though the bands of the wicked had robbed him, what did he do? But I have not forgotten the law. He stuck with the things of God. He was consistent. Why? Because God was his portion. God was all that he needed. God's word was all that he needed to sustain him. Even when the wicked were beaten down on him. Amen. You may be robbed, you may rob me of my earthly portion, but you cannot rob me of my heavenly portion. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Hebrews chapter 10, what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 with me, in verses 34 and 35. Hebrews 10, verses 34 and 35. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Amen. Even though the things you've maybe robbed of your earthly portion, you have a better portion up in heaven waiting you, my friend. That's eternal. Amen. That's enduring. The substance down here, your portion down here is not eternal. It's only temporary. Amen. So we see also, as an illustration, Absalom robbed his father David. What did David do? What did he turn to? He remembered the word of God. He stuck with the things of God. Amen. He wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, some of the greatest psalms. Amen. During the time that his son was going after him to kill him, amen, and had taken over the throne, had robbed David. No, he didn't change, because the Lord was his portion. He went to the Lord in times of adversity. He didn't go to others for help. He depended on the Lord. Our fifth main point here, as we look at the profile of an obedient saint, is companionship with like-minded partners. Companionship with like-minded partners. Psalm 119 again. Verse 63. He says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. When God is our portion, we will join others who have made God their portion also. Isn't that right? We don't want to hang around with wishy-washy Christians. Amen. If you've made God, if you've surrendered your life over to God, submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit for your life, made God and God alone your portion, then you want to join with others who have done the same. See, God does not require us to fly solo. But praise the Lord, he surrounds us with companions along the way who encourage us, hold us accountable, share their strength with us, and remind us of the prize to come. You see, biblical basis for fellowship is basically the fear of God in obedience to God. Those are the people you want to hang out with. Those should be your companion. Just as the psalmist wrote, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. His companions were those that feared the Lord, feared God, and kept the word of God, was obedient to the word of God. And those are the same type of people we want to hang around with, you want to hang around with, I want to hang around with, surround ourselves with. Amen? The sixth main point that we want to look at about a profile of an obedient saint, he has a conclusive world perspective. Notice verse 64 of Psalm 119. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Now compare this, the beginning and the ending of this stanza that we've gone through today, verses 57 through 64. It begins with, thou art my portion, O Lord. And it ends with, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. You see, mercy inspires obedience. Amen. Because God is merciful, that should inspire you and inspire me to be obedient to him. Everyone should have a world perspective. The more I see of life, the more I realize that God and his word is all that really matters. That's the only thing that you can trust and hold on to, is God and his word. Everything else is forever changing. Amen. God never changes and his word never changes. And praise the Lord for that we can count on God. Amen. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Praise the Lord for that. What do you see when you look at the world, my friend? Do you see wickedness and lost souls? Amen. Do you see war and death? Do you see anger and war? Do you see sorrow and pain? Do you see disease and deterioration? Do you see hunger and poverty? Do you see mercy? See, as the psalmist had a world perspective, and he saw things on the grand scale. That's what you and I need to do. We need to be far-sighted, not near-sighted. You know, just reflecting upon our own individual circumstances and trials and tribulations. But take a look at the world. Have a world perspective. That's what the psalmist had. And when he looked upon, as he looked out at the world, he said, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." If you just think of it, the fact that the world itself is still existing is because of God's mercy. It has become so wicked and so vile, God has every right to destroy it. Amen? But because of his mercy, he hasn't. He's allowed it to go on because he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You have often people say, well, a loving God would never send anybody to hell, amen. Well, there's a payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. But he's looking for everyone. He doesn't want anyone to end up in the lake of fire. He wants all to come to repentance, to repent of their sins, how they've sinned against God and they can't save themselves and they need his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save them, trusting in his shed blood and nothing else, amen. So you and I, we need to have a conclusive world perspective. If we do that, we see God's mercy working in the world, amen. And when we do that, his mercy should inspire us to obey him, to be obedient to him, because mercy, in essence, is that you and I don't get what we deserve. Amen. You know, for the most part, many of us have a roof over our head, plenty to eat, probably more than enough to eat. Amen. An automobile to get around with. We don't deserve any of that. We deserve right now, each and every one of us, to be in a lake of fire. But God, through his infinite mercy, which is renewed each day, amen, shows us his mercy each day, showers us with his mercy each day, allows us to live and breathe and, amen, and to enjoy the things of this world and of this life. That should inspire you and I to be obedient to him. As I conclude today, I ask you this question. Is the Lord your portion? Have a beautiful hymn. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. Watch my Savior watching over me. I can sing though billows roll. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let my view his constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. The chorus. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. My friend, take the world, but give me Jesus. Is he your portion? Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri thanking each and every one of you once again for joining me for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, each and every one of you, and good day.